What's up, everybody? This is Carrick with ACG, and welcome to the Daily News, where I cover a couple different topics in normal news fashion, very short, and then at the very end of it, I discuss it in more of a podcast form. I'd love for you to subscribe, share it. Let's begin. The first thing I want to talk about today is PS5 apparently sold all the shipments of PS5s that they made. Now, I don't think that's too surprising because, as we know, PS5 and Xbox both had a lot of sourcing issues. But Digitimes reports PS5 shipped 3.4 million units in the first 4 weeks, expected to reach around 18 million in 2021. That is the highest number of PlayStation consoles that have been in the initial shipments ever. I think we can see there's a thirst there for the next gen consoles because Xbox is doing just fine as well for its Series X and Series S. I mean, we even see this replicated in Nvidia with the 3080 and 3090. People are just wanting tech. I don't know if they're spending them stimulus packages on that and not on some milk and cheese, but they are getting a ton of tech currently. And we're starting to see that in a lot of different ways. Now, this is even more important to me, I think, when I know that people don't agree with me, but I personally don't feel that the specific exclusive titles for either one of these systems were really anything to sit there and shout about, especially because they sort of just died on the vine. We heard about them. We thought Miles Morales would be exclusive, but then found out it wasn't, that kind of stuff. We have, of course, Demon's Souls, the remake, which was great, but sort of also died. You don't see it talked about very much. Now, nothing necessarily wrong with that. Those are good titles, and the Xbox has stellar backwards compatibility as well as Game Pass, and the PS5 has stellar backwards compatibility. So you see a lot of people jumping into this. Also, I do know that there were a lot of deals at various places for trading in your systems to get new ones. So we're going to sort of see how this hashes out. But I think anybody who is expecting the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S to not sell well is sort of surprised. I'm one of them just because I assumed that with the current world issues, this would be a situation where people wouldn't be rushing out to get those, especially because they really didn't offer a ton, at least for me, when it came to exclusives and real reasons to jump into them. We are seeing things like Cyberpunk, which didn't run well at all on the basic, or almost at all on the basic systems. And we see them run much better on these. And these aren't even the next gen versions. These are just backwards compatible versions run on the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. So congratulations to everybody involved. It's something else I wasn't expecting, but was absolutely dire and needed to be said. Chris Roberts came out and discussed just a little bit about Star Citizen and stated single player campaign will miss the beta window. It doesn't have a release date. And his exact quote was, Squadron 42 will be done when it's done and will not be released just to make a date, says Chris Roberts. Now, I got that from Polygon, so shout out to them for getting me that information. But basically what's happening is this. Squadron 42 is the single player component of Star Citizen. And especially when you look at Cyberpunk, and this is something that I talked about last year when I was debating if Cyberpunk wasn't going to be good on the podcast, we were talking about the fact that we firmly believed that if it wasn't good, what we would see is a pushback on a lot of big titles where we would see them basically just say, hey, when it's done, it's done. The, of course, classic quote is that a bad game stays bad forever. A delayed one just comes out later. So I think when you look at this kind of situation, it makes perfect sense for any of these companies with any kind of situation where they may not be 100% comfortable with what they're releasing. Hey, you know what? It's better to sit back, take the heat now versus the amounts and unbelievable, just incredible level of heat that you're going to take in the current situation if you release something that is not ready. This also came along with Chris saying he wasn't actually going to show Squadron 42 gameplay publicly or discuss really anything until they get closer to the home stretch. Now, this is something that in the past, about 5 to 10 years ago, Dennis Dyack, who made some games, Too Human in particular for the Xbox, had stated he had always wanted, which was the announcement of a title, and then boom, it's almost ready for release. We've seen Bethesda sort of tickle this, sort of get in there a little bit and try to figure it out. And we've also seen Microsoft try to figure that out as well, to do the sort of quick announcement. Now, Dennis was speaking more along the lines of, boom, here's an announcement, the game's ready right away. We see that with smaller stuff. We have seen it a couple times, or hey, the demo's right away when we see an E3 announcement. But it's very difficult for a huge title to do that just simply because of the sheer amount of PR glitz and glamour that goes on in these, as well as the amount of money you need to spend on these titles, and you sort of need to get it recouped. Now, we see this kind of recouping on the pre-order side. This is something I'm going to talk about in a video that I'm making right now, which is basically pre-orders and digital storefronts versus the consumer versus the company making the game, and I'm going to talk about the various different sides of that in the next coming days. But anyway, those are two bits of big data. There really wasn't a lot of news stories that I think popped in the last couple days, so I figured those would be the ones to cover. Now, if you want to stick around for just a little bit longer, we're going to jump into the more eclectic, more detailed side of this. The first thing I want to talk about is PS5 selling so well. And Xbox selling well, respectively, but I want to talk in particular about PS5. I think it's really cool. We've seen a lot of PS5 hype come in and go away. And, you know, there's been a lot of battling. It's been an uncomfortable time, I think, for any adult in the situation when you have to deal with, you know, fanboys and all of the weirdness that goes on there. But what we do see is consoles are coming along that are incredibly powerful, remembering that the original Xbox and the PS4 were Jaguar CPUs, meaning they were mobile CPUs. They just were not strong, which is one of the reasons why when they got their Pro or their Xbox One X versions, we didn't see always a jump directly to 60 FPS. We did see a resolution increase because the GPU side of that is usually connected a bit more to the resolution. But switching out those CPUs, even on the Xbox Series X, which had a faster one, there was a lot there that needed to be done. Now we're looking at two systems that are insanely powerful, and they're coming to people's homes. You're looking at things like ray tracing in Spider-Man Miles Morales that is really insane. I mean, that is next level ray tracing. Now, of course, this is for a specific platform, which I'm going to do another video about actually soon in the next couple days, we'll say, about bug testing and how bugs are reported by reviewers, but also just how it's so easy for people to think, hey, how is this not working, and not really remember how many millions of combinations there are and what maybe technologies we see in the future to sort of circumvent some of this. And circumventing, I think, is what we're going to see when it comes to the both next-gen consoles and what they're trying to offer and what developers start offering for them. I think we're going to start to see a lot of titles that are more of that split. Now, remember that Sony in particular, way back, had originally stated they wanted to see this be the fastest jump to the next-gen console ever, the most users to the next-gen console. However, they are having issues creating the next-gen console. This is a problem because of the worldwide situation. It's a problem with resources. So I do think you'll see what we've seen in the last couple months, which is sort of a pullback on that attitude and more of a, hey, we're not going to forget the PS4, right? We're not going to forget those people. Where Xbox has always had that, and hopefully we'll see something out of Switch, you know, Pro Switch soon at some point where they start talking about that and what they're going to do. When you look at how to sort of circumvent the problem of resources and the problem of getting these out in people's hands, we are going to see a lot of titles that are made for both current and next gen. Now, I saw some people saying, oh, Cyberpunk, that's proof right there that it shouldn't be on the old system. And then you saw some people fighting that. Let me give you my brief, really quick explanation of why I don't think that makes any sense and really isn't necessarily connected. We do see the entirety of the world, the quests and so forth, running on the prior gen. 22 frames per second when the patch was done. That is something that you can climb up as you lower the resolution and you adjust various settings. Something that, by the way, was sort of questionable about the older base platform versions. Some of their settings were higher than a lot of people believe they should have been, meaning it wasn't necessarily a situation of being on the older consoles. It was a situation of time and resources to test it and adjust various different settings to get those settings at a point to where it made sense for that console and how it runs. That's one thing. So I think that for a lot of people who are saying, hey, it shouldn't have been, blah, blah, blah. Yes, those resources may have been moved over to testing the current gen versions and all that, but a shit ton of sales, a massive, almost unbelievable number of sales would not have been made. Now, we can all agree, we wish those sales probably hadn't been made. Little Jimmy was probably sitting under his Christmas tree on the 25th and opened up a box, and maybe there was a PS4 or an Xbox original version of Cyberpunk in there, which is going to be a rough day for little Jimmy. Even though a lot of people can deal with low frame rates, those versions have a lot of other issues. So I think what we're going to see is a lot of companies just continually making the same style of games and for sure going on those last gens until we get a situation where they can feed that mammoth request for these next gen titles. And the couple developers I've talked to have no plans whatsoever to drop their past gen versions. Also understanding that Cyberpunk, when it was created, was the beginning of last gen. And so there's really not a huge amount of excuse other than mismanagement for how low this came out. And moving on from there, breaking down a little bit more of Star Citizen. I don't have a ton to talk about when it comes to this, but I would love for you to stick by just for a couple moments. Chris Roberts had issues with Freelancer and getting it out with Microsoft, and those issues have run the gamut, multiple reports. This has been something that's over two decades ago, so nobody knows the exact answers. We do see that with Star Citizen, a ton of money going in, and we're not getting a lot out. Now, the scam thing that I see people, I don't want to talk about that too much, just simply because this is a playable game. I have the demo, or whatever you want to call it. There's multiple various different systems at play. There's certainly something being made. It's not necessarily the same thing. It's certainly not vaporware, I guess, is what we could say. However, this comes at a time where I firmly believe, and this is something I talked about 3 years ago, on a podcast, I was stating that I believe that they were too transparent in what they were stating. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, we want the most data. You do want proper data, and you certainly as a consumer deserve it. What I meant by too transparent is they were too almost optimistically transparent. And what it should have happened was you don't necessarily need to show as much as they did or waste as much time or do as many demos when what they could have done is use those resources in other places. This is something I talked about 3 years ago. I also, you know, even back then, probably wouldn't have put a for sure date on some of these things. I would have probably sat back and been like, hey, when it's done, it's done. But they were hitting for something. I think having an end date is a good idea. It's just when you look at Star Citizen, you know, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a lot like Cyberpunk, peeps. Even if it's less buggy than Cyberpunk, there's a lot of people who have a multitude of problems above bugginess in Cyberpunk. And I think the same thing will happen here, where no matter what, it is almost impossible to equal the sheer hype that's going on for this game. Hype in a good way and a bad way. A lot of people want to poke this game and want to destroy it and want to see it destroyed. Other people want to see it released and would love to play it. And I think that that kind and that amount of hype, and in no way, shape, or form am I saying it's not that company's fault or it's not somebody's fault. I'm just saying that unfortunately, I feel there's pretty much no way to come back from that kind of hype. There really isn't. If you track most technology, the way things work, if you track, even when you look at the technologies, for example, the video cards, 3090, 3080, 2080, 2080 Ti, there's always those situations where afterwards people are hammering on it. Performant, you know, it's not as performant as Nvidia stated, or it doesn't look as good as CD Projekt Red stated. Unbelievable amounts of hype sell, but there's a larger and larger, I guess you would call it, smashback onto the mouths of those people who've been talking. You know, if you become that public mouthpiece, you get smacked. Cliff Bleszinski had to deal with, you know, because he said some things when he was doing Gears. And after that, man, people were just gunning for him. They were ready. You know, they were ready to bring him down. What I'd like to know what you guys think about these two bits of news, bits of data. If you guys like this format, I would love to have you leave a comment, thumbs up. I like doing it. I'd like to know what you guys think. If you like the video, give it a thumbs up. If you dislike it, give it a thumbs down. Spread it wherever you can. Share it. It really does help if you share these kind of things. I'll post it up on the podcast channels, iTunes and Spotify here in a little bit. That'll be it for me. Stay tuned for some seriously cool videos. Peace out and enjoy the rest of your week.